at so far and being at RPM, just feeling valued and wanted.
For more on Jones' 2020 season, see MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
5 national championships.
Holy smokes, what a dozen.
62 conference titles.
Another steal. This guy's a wizard.
15 Final Four appearances.
From way downtown. Bang!
There's only one team that can boast those numbers.
You can rock. Chalk it up.
Be a part of the Jayhawk journey all season long right here on your home for Kansas Jayhawk basketball.
KU opens Big 12 play on Z96.3 Thursday, December 17th at Texas Tech. Pregame at 5:30 and tip-off at 6 o'clock. Catch KU basketball all season long on Z96.3 The Lake. Brought to you by the State Bank of Downs, S&S Drug and Home Health of Beloit, Rush Art and Downs, Kearney State Bank and Trust Company, Mankato Professional Pharmacy, NCKSports.com, and Clark Gashaw Mortuary in Osborne.
Samuel in the air, flipped it up, missed it. Rebound for the Frogs. Here, shot clock is off. P.J. Fuller with it. Frogs can take the last shot, but instead, let's see, they work quickly. They give it off now to Todd. 13 seconds to play. Tarrant, off it goes Nimhard. Nimhard from the elbow for the jumper. Got it. Frogs lead 77-76 with 7.6 to go and a timeout taken by Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State first loss of the season, and it's in Big 12 play to open up the year as TCU with the game winner there, as you heard. TCU wins 77-76. A big Big 12 game tonight as number 5 Kansas will be at number 14 Texas Tech. And KU is actually opening up the Big 12 season as an underdog on the road tonight. That weak Big 12 conference with 5 teams in the top 15. Bill Self says that he says, I say it every year, but I really truly mean it this year. Our league is a monster. He said, and I quote, this may be the best I've seen our league ever. It's a monster league. He thinks Baylor is the best team so far. He believes his Jayhawks, along with 8th-ranked West Virginia, number 11 Texas, number 14 Texas Tech, will all make a push for the Big 12 crown, while other teams such as Oklahoma State, who lost last night, and Oklahoma, who should be improved, will play a role as well. And then keep in mind that we may not play the full 18 games because of COVID, so that could be a wild card too, where some teams might not have to play other teams twice while others may, and it's going to be very, very difficult to navigate through the Big 12. But K-State and TCU lead the Big 12 right now, like we anticipated.
Exactly.
At 1-0. Here's Bill Self on taking on Texas Tech and gives a scouting report on the Red Raiders. The game tonight, pregame at 5:30 and tip-off at 6 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. Should be a good one.
A lot of interchangeable parts. To me, it's a typical Tech team that we've seen the last few years. And, you know, they really, really defend. They run good motion. Everybody can, you know, pass, shoot, move without the ball. And their pieces are interchangeable enough, kind of like us with our starters, that, you know, you can switch just about everything and those sorts of things. So I like their team. And Chris always comes up with something that's a little bit unique that'll give you something to look at or try to surprise you when you play. So I really like their team. They're one of the teams out there, one of the 4 or 5 in our league, that they could beat anybody in the country. I do believe that if they're playing well.
Should be a good game tonight. I think Texas has as good a chance as anybody to win this league. I think Baylor is a slight favorite right now, but Baylor will play K-State, hopefully, coming up on Saturday. That'll be in Manhattan, and that would be the shocker of all shockers if K-State beat Baylor on Saturday after losing to Fort Hays State at home and never leading in the game a few weeks prior. That would be something. We thought winning at Iowa State was something.
Yeah.
Beating Baylor at home would be really something for K-State men's basketball. Local sports, we've got a schedule change in regards to Beloit. Beloit will play tomorrow night, we hope. It's an interesting situation. The Beloit girls will play Ellsworth at home. The Beloit boys will host Southeast Saline. So it's your normal schedule. It's just that Southeast Saline replaces Ellsworth on the boys' side of things. That's the best way I can simplify it.
Mm-hmm.
So the JV boys will be at 4:30 at the elementary gym against Southeast Saline, followed by a 2-quarter C game. And the Beloit girls JV game against Ellsworth will be at 4:30 at the high school, then the varsity girls at 6, and then the varsity boys against Southeast at 7:30. So girls are playing Ellsworth, the boys are playing Southeast, but all those games are in Beloit tomorrow night. And we'll have the live video streams of all those games at ncksports.com via Beloit Trojan Channel. We'll have play-by-play of the video stream and on the radio on KD Country 94 tomorrow starting around 5:50 as Beloit girls against Ellsworth. And then the Beloit boys against Southeast Saline. Beloit trying to play their first games of the season. Southeast is already, the boys have already played 4. And the girls, I think, will end up, actually, they'll have five because they play tonight. Southeast will have five games under their belt. And Beloit will have zero. It's just the way it is in 2020. Oh, we have locker room chats tonight?
Yeah, tonight we talk to the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas basketball. And those will begin around 5:10 to 5:15 here this evening on the locker room chats. And one other note of what's going on here tonight, high school wrestling. Beloit is hosting a double duel with Smith Center and Republic County this evening. So the wrestling teams will be back out on the mats here tonight. And I look forward to seeing how all those come out for Beloit High School and Smith Center High.
Beloit ranked fourth in the state as a team and have some ranked wrestlers, according to the KWCA rankings, which are posted at ncksports.com. We mentioned basketball tonight. Southeast Saline is taking on Hillsborough in a girls and boys doubleheader. Athlete of the week?
Yes, St. John's Tipton senior Lauren Dubert, the ncksports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. She's off to a great start this season for the Lady Jays and averaging 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 steals, and 2 assists per game, shooting 48% from the floor, 44% from three-point land, and 59% at the free throw line early on this season. She had 24 points, including 12 in the third quarter of the win on Tuesday at Mankato against Rock Hills. Went 5-9 from 3 in that game, had a season-high 8 rebounds. Top scoring game was a 28-point game in the season opener over Russell, and she's scored in double figures all four games more than 23 times here this season already in the four games that the Letty Jays have played. You can read much more about Lauren at ncksports.com or Cunningham Telephone and Cable, ncksports.com, Athlete of the Week. We'd need your help in finding that Athlete of the Week. If you ever want to nominate anybody, you can always check out ncksports.com for more information.
All right. Look forward to all of that. K-State football team opts out of a bowl game. They end their season at 4-6 overall, 4-5 in league, end up losing the last five games of the season after starting 4-0 in the Big 12 play. They announced that yesterday as it paused all football activities because of COVID-19, and now as a result of all that, they will not pursue a bowl game. I know Dusty and I are in agreement on this, but I'll let Dusty take the floor on this one. How do you feel as a K-State fan of not playing a bowl game and opting out at this point of time?
I think I said right after the regular season was over, I'm like, I don't even know if I want to watch this team play a bowl game, first of all.
I think fans, most fans would say they don't want to watch it. Now the question is this good or bad for
the
program?
For the program, I don't think it's I'm indifferent on it. It's not bad. Like, yeah. I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
Normally, I'd say it would be, yeah, but I don't think
in a year like this where you haven't had everybody at practice anyway for pretty much all year, because that's the whole thing that people talk about, right? When you make a bowl game, that's more practice time for the younger players. It's more practice time for your team, your program, to get where you want to be. But when not everybody's there, you've got all these guys that have gone into the transfer portal. You got all these guys that might have COVID that aren't even there. Mm-hmm. It's just been a weird year, and I just feel like it's a good stopping point just right now. Just don't go to the bowl game. Don't worry about all that stuff. Get yourself ready. Get all these guys that just signed yesterday. Get them all ready and get them in for spring, hopefully, that'll be normal this year, and build the program back up from there, because the bowl game just doesn't do much, I don't think, like it normally does because of everything that's going on around the program right now, the disarray that's everywhere in college football.
Let's see. K-State's last game was December the 5th. Yeah. So they have had another 8 practices.
Yeah.
And then they called it yesterday, 7 or 8 practices. So if they would have stuck this out and had a bowl game, odds are it would have been somewhere around December 28, 29, somewhere in that range. So which would have meant that they wouldn't have practiced on Christmas, I don't think. So really what we're looking at is they lost a week of practice by not having a bowl game. And to me, that's not a big deal at all.
No.
Because the reasons you just said, plus you did get some extra practices after the season ended when you gave up 69 to Texas to end your year. The bowl game's not the same situation. You go to destination, have a fun time all week long, which is not the way it is. You would have got a gift bag of goodies, this and that, but that's about the biggest thing. I think it's not that big a deal, honestly. I will say that I think it is amazing the teams are doing well in college football this year. Of course, some that have just amazing talent like Alabama, but to keep that team chemistry and camaraderie is very difficult when guys are missing practices all the time. And that's what happened with K-State and every other program in America for that part. So it really put a stress on the coaches. I think off the record, if you asked every single player and every single coach about the decision yesterday, I think it'd be overwhelmingly a sense of relief that, okay, we're done. Because, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about this. Listen, we kind of hold our breath here locally. Mm-hmm. And every single town is this way and every school. as to holding your breath that you hope that you can play games. You hope the other team doesn't get to go in quarantine. You hope that you don't go in quarantine after you play a team like Republic County played Valley Heights and then had to go into some quarantine. Okay, that seems bad enough. Now imagine being tested three times a week and once on game day.
Yeah.
Every single time you take a COVID test, you're thinking what? You're probably freaking out because you don't know if you have. I mean, you could be asymptomatic and not show any signs, and you may test positive. Then there's false positives. So as Jeff Mitty, the head coach of the K-State women, said on our show yesterday, he goes, you hold your breath every time you test. Well, so are the players. So then there's a little bit of undue stress because every single time they test, they're like, oh, my gosh, am I going to test positive or not? And now think about doing that over and over three times every single week as a college athlete. And you may say, well, that's nice. They have all the access to testing. True. But every time they get tested, they got to, I mean, they got to be stressing out going, oh, my God, is this the day I'm going to test positive? And yeah. If I do, what's that mean for the rest of my team? And it's just not a healthy environment. And, you know, everybody wanted to play. Nebraska was the main one saying, hey, we want to play. And the players want to play, no doubt. And the coaches want to coach. But this has been a year, like I said before, I don't think anybody should have been fired. Gus Malzahn at Auburn, Lovie Smith at Illinois. I think it's just silly and ludicrous to fire coaches, especially if they had a winning record during this COVID-19 like Auburn did. It's just crazy and insane because of all the obstacles you had to deal with as a coach. And I think if you talk to Chris Klieman right now off the record, he'd say, you know what, we're ready to move on in the next year. Mm-hmm. We want to have a full offseason, hopefully, and so forth and so on, which then leads you into signing day yesterday, where K-State signed 14. And they will, of course, hope to add more prospects to the class of 2021 during the regular signing period, which opens on Wednesday, February the 3rd. Noteworthy ones, of course, quarterback Jake Rubley from Highland Ranch, Colorado, 25th best overall prospect, number 3 pocket passer in the nation, according to ESPN. Rubley made it official yesterday. Also, they got offensive lineman Andrew Linegang from North Dakota, viewed as a 10th best center in the nation. Linebacker Gavin Hazelhorse of Hayes, Kansas, ranked 22nd among all inside linebackers. And also Devontae Pritchard from Gardner, Kansas, who will play linebacker at K-State, rated the 43rd best safety in the nation by Rivals. So those are the three kids from Kansas, Hazelhorse and Pritchard. And then also they picked up a kid from a DB, Daryl Jones from Coffeyville, Kansas, from Field Kinley. He's a DB. So there's three Kansas kids. And, of course, the marquee one is Jake Rubley, the quarterback, 6'3", 205, from Highlands Ranch, Colorado. He'll compete against Will Howard and also possibly Skylar Thompson. John Kurtz came in reporting yesterday that Chris Klieman plans on sitting down with Skylar Thompson tomorrow to discuss Skylar's plans for next year, and he hopes to. Coach Klieman talked to all the seniors and see their plans and whether or not they want to come back next year because this year was a free year of eligibility. He hopes to talk to all those seniors and figure out what they're going to do by the end of next week. Chris Klieman tells us about what he thinks about signing day and how it looked a little bit different this year.
Thrilled for these guys. It's a special day. I don't care what kind of pandemic year, all that other stuff. What a special day for these young men and their families to know where they're going to college, to be able to be a part of the K-State family. We're excited because it's a great day for us at Kansas State to welcome these young men and their families. And so we couldn't be more thrilled to have these guys. And we had a pretty good Zoom this morning with a number of them and celebrated. We did something different that we hadn't done. We had cameras put up all over Veneer, weight room, outside my office, trophy area, offices, and had a bunch of them on together and started to build that bond with each other. And it was a pretty cool morning. So excited about these guys.
All right, so there's K-State signing class. I'd ask Dusty for his opinion, but no offense, Dusty. It really doesn't matter, his opinion, my opinion, anybody's opinion, because these are all ratings based on people that saw some film and this and that, and we don't know what these kids are going to do when they go from a senior in high school to a freshman in college and then transfer a year from now. And by the way, everybody freaking out, not everybody, but some K-State fans freaking about transfer portals and K-State guys leaving. You know, KU football has 12 in the transfer portal. So a lot of schools are dealing with this. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're going to see tons of transfers. Charlie Brewer is a graduate transfer from Baylor. He'll be a highly sought-after quarterback for 1 year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is, man.
Yeah. This is going on all over the country, not just at KU and K-State. So don't panic about that. And that's why you have these signing classes coming in, right, to fill some of them holes. And you just got to move forward from there. That's all you can do.
Yep. I don't get too big into signing day myself. I don't get too excited about it because I've seen all kinds of guys that are big star athletes that don't pan out, and then I see guys that aren't even rated. I got to look at K-State. All I got to do is look at Colin Klein. I got to look at Jordy Nelson. Those guys turned out to be pretty good players, and they weren't rated hardly at all, if at all. Les Miles, head coach at KU, they had signing day yesterday as well. The one Kansas kid, Lawrence High's multi-sport standout running back Devin Neal, according to some, the number one recruit in the state of Kansas, and KU gets him, and they probably should. He's right in their backyard in Lawrence.
Yeah.
But they haven't always done that. He signed his letter of intent with KU yesterday. He's staying in town to play both football and baseball, very talented running back. And so KU, Les Miles, his class that they picked up yesterday, 18 signees. They got some kids from Texas that certainly stand out here. A couple from Florida, a few from Georgia. So actually got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the 18 are from Texas. So and just one from Kansas, but it's supposedly the best recruit in Kansas, according to some. Les Miles on his 2021 class from yesterday that they signed, 18 in all.
We have youthful guys that are going to give us time. They're going to give us the things that we need to develop a winner. And I feel good about this class, and I feel good about the guys that we're putting in a position to compete.
Well, of course you're going to feel good. Everybody does when it is signing day and nowhere to go but up for the Jayhawks. You would hope after finishing the year 0-9 and probably mercifully didn't have to play the last game against Texas. NFL football tonight, Thursday night football. It's the Chargers at the Raiders. Chargers trying to play a role of spoiler. Raiders have to win and win out more than likely to make the playoffs there at 7-6. The latest with James Harden, if you follow on this, you know, there's, I think I knew all along why I wasn't a big fan of James Harden. A couple of reasons. One, dribbles the ball 1,000 times before doing anything with it. I think that's boring to watch myself. He travels, I think, 50% of the time, if not more. he's not a very good defender. He can be if he wants to, but I've always wondered about his intestinal fortitude. I have seen him in big games completely shrivel under some of the biggest moments. Now, last couple of years, he's done a little bit better in that category. He ran Chris Paul out of town, basically, because him and Chris Paul didn't get along. And Chris Paul, wherever he goes, people win. So I thought, you know, that's a problem for Harden, and Paul's probably relieved. He went to the Thunder and did what he did and nearly beat the Rockets in 7 games with a much less talented team did Chris Paul and the Thunder. Now Paul's with the Suns, and I think the Suns are going to be a big-time improvement team this year. But this James Harden situation, where he wants out of Houston, is absolutely, to me, childish. And here's why. And there's a report coming out yesterday from CBS Sports and ESPN that kind of backs up what I've thought all along about James Harden, is James Harden's about himself.
Oh, yeah.
James Harden's about himself. And he's the one that wanted Westbrook to join him, and they jettisoned Chris Paul. Basically, whatever James Harden wanted, the Rockets would bend over backwards and give him what he wanted. And Daryl Morey was the GM, and now he's moved on to Philadelphia. So as soon as he moves on, apparently there's a new sheriff in town, a new GM, there's a new head coach. And Mike D'Antoni was an enabler, and as was the GM, Daryl Morey. And no wonder Daryl Morey and James Harden were such good friends, because Harden got Morey to do whatever he wanted. Mm-hmm. And the story proves that. And so now you got a new coach, and you got a new sheriff in town, new GM. And all of a sudden, you no wonder Harden wants out, because now they're actually going to make him stick the schedules.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder he wants out. I'm like, I don't want James Harden. I don't care. If I'm the Nets, I got Irving, I got Durant. I don't need Harden. If I'm the Sixers, I got Simmons, I got Embiid. I've got now Doc Rivers as my coach. I do not need James Harden. And if Harden's going to be this way in Houston, he wants to be the top dog, doesn't he? He wants to be in control. He ain't going to be in control in Brooklyn. He's not going to be control in Philadelphia. Well, Philadelphia might be. That'd be the one place, because Daryl Morey's there and might allow it. And that ain't going to be good for guys like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, although one of those you would think would get traded to the Rockets if a trade happens between the Sixers and the Rockets. And James Harden, you look at preseason, he looked like he's a little overweight.
Yeah.
Now, there, I will say, in fairness, there was a picture that really, I think, was misleading, because there's another picture of him warming up, and he looked a lot different.
He had, like, all his warm-up tucked in, pulled back.
It looked like he was fat, and he wasn't. He isn't. But he is a little bit beefier than last year or a few months ago. So he's let himself go a little bit. But he can get that back. That's not a problem if he wants to. But here's the crazy thing about this story. According to ESPN, this is something. One of the biggest things that's become clear over the past few weeks is just how much control James Harden had over the Houston Rocket organization, from personnel decisions to travel arrangements to the ability to hop on a jet and disappear for a day of partying. Harden was able to do essentially whatever he wanted in Houston. And for the most part, the freedom granted to Harden was worth it. After all, he's one of the best players in the league, guarantees you a playoff berth by himself. but it also had its downsides. In particular, the Rockets' casual culture, headed by Harden, was ultimately responsible for the professional relationship between him and Russell Westbrook falling apart. According to a report, Westbrook didn't tolerate tardiness. With the Rockets, scheduled departure times were treated as mere suggestions by Harden and others. Nothing ever starts on time, a former Rockets staffer said. The plane is always late. The bus is never on time. It's just an organized AAU team. On one occasion in the Florida bubble, Harden waited to get his daily COVID-19 testing until just before the Rockets film session was scheduled to start. When he wasn't on time, Westbrook barked, "Start the dang film. Start it without him." Mike D'Antoni explained that they just have to start all over when Harden arrived, which didn't calm Westbrook. Whether Westbrook or Harden wanted out first isn't clear, but they no longer wanted to play together a season after the Rockets mortgaged their draft future to make it happen. And then, on top of that, it sounds like the guy that Harden wanted from the Wizards was John Wall. So they go get John Wall. They trade Westbrook. Wall hasn't played in basically two seasons due to injuries. Wall comes back, plays in preseason, looks okay. And Harden's like, eh, I don't care. I still want out. So this is pretty simple to me. They're going to actually run this organization like it's supposed to be run. You're actually going to have to abide by schedules. You're not going to just get to go fly and party whenever you want like Dennis Rodman. You're going to have to be responsible, show up on time, because you know what? You're a member of the team and organization. We've talked about this for a long time. Superstars get treated differently. And we say this at every level. If your best player and your worst player on your basketball team do the exact same things, the worst player might get kicked off the team or suspended, and the best guy might get a slap on the wrist. That's what it sounds like here. And to me, if I'm a member of the Houston Rockets team and I see Harden getting away with murder and doing whatever he wants, why should I have to abide by any rules? And thus, it is a circus. And thus, it's pretty amazing the Rockets did what they've done the last few years. Mm-hmm. But James Harden basically has torpedoed this organization to an extent. No question they're on the map because of his play.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. But they haven't gotten to the promised land, the NBA Finals, yet with James Harden. And they were very close with Chris Paul. And then eventually he was like, I can't get along with Paul. Paul's questioning these things. I don't like it. So Paul gets traded. They do everything that he wants. And now he has the audacity to say, after they did everything he wanted, I want out. I don't want to be a part of this thing. You talk about the ultimate stab in the back.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like the culture. Yeah, you don't like the culture because there are actually going to be rules you're supposed to abide by. No wonder you want out. But you think you're going to go to Brooklyn, you're going to Philadelphia or wherever it may be. You think that you're going to be the top dog immediately when you're with other superstars, and you think you're not going to have to abide by any rules? I'm guessing you will. And if you don't get yourself in line, other guys are going to make you get in line. I'm going to tell you, I don't think Kevin Durant's going to be all full and happy about James Harden, you know, showing up late to practices and jettisoning off and then late for COVID testing and missing film. I don't think Durant's going to be cool with that. So I don't see how it works there. And if he goes to Philadelphia, I don't see Doc Rivers being cool with that. So I just don't see where James Harden fits. A guy that averages 35 a game, this is just another, to me, negative about James Harden. And if I'm a team out there, I don't think James Harden's worth it. I really don't. First of all, he doesn't move the ball a lot. He's got to be the guy with the ball in his hands all the time. You go to Philly, Embiid needs the ball in his hands. Simmons needs the ball in his hands. You go to the Brooklyn, they already have too many ball hogs. I'm not going to say Durant's a ball hog, but Irving is a lot of times. And they got Caris LeVert and other guys that can score. I mean, the Nets have enough talent. They don't need James Harden. So where does James Harden go? I want to tell you honestly, he needs to suck it up. And I think it'd be funny if the Rockets say, "You're here. You're under contract. Too darn bad for the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to deal with it. You don't like it? Well, then you can be in purgatory and you can stay here. And you either got to shape up or we're not shipping you out." I don't know, because I don't think they're going to get the value that they want for James Harden. If you don't get the full value for James Harden, why would you trade him now? The flip side of the argument would be, well, if he tanks and he gets out of shape and he isn't as good, you lose the value that you would normally have now if you traded him. But you're going to have to give up a lot, and I just don't see any team doing it. I really, truly don't. And I think he's going to just have to suck it up and be a part of the Houston Rockets and team up with John Wall. But when I hear things like this, and it's not the first time superstars have had all kinds of, and we see celebrities getting all kinds of diva treatment too, by the way. It irritates me, because that means you're not a team player. And I would not want to play with a guy like that.
No, and I don't think that's news.
And maybe that's why Chris Paul was tired of James Harden's act, too.
That's exactly.
And Russell Westbrook.
That's exactly why I say just what I said. I don't think it's news that he's not a team player.
So if Paul and Westbrook can't get along with Harden after a year or two, why is Durant and Irving and Embiid and Simmons?
Well, I said that right away.
Or Giannis Antetokounmpo.
When that first came out, I'm like, the Nets would be crazy to do that, because this is going to ruin what they are trying to build there.
Absolutely.
There will be no continuity. at all if they do that. And so, yeah, I think a team that needs to get James Harden is a team that's trying to make a come up right now. Not a
like
team
the Washington
that,
Wizards.
Yeah, exactly.
Just where was
not a team that not a team that feels they have stuff established right. to where they can win this year, right? It's a team, you know, somewhere that wants to make a move.
The Charlotte Hornets.
In the standings, yeah.
I mean, a team like that. Atlanta Hawks, man. Trae Young, he's going to have to blow on his hands a lot.
Yeah.
I just don't see where he fits. I really don't. So we'll continue to follow that story. James Harden sounds like a spoiled superstar, quite honestly.
Yes.
Making tons of money and turned down $50 million a year.